This morning, I want to echo what Abby talked about, that there's a theme of breakthrough this morning, and God's been so gracious to us. And so I want us to pray. So I'm going to ask you to go ahead and bow your head. But if today you're like, man, I need a breakthrough in my relationship with God. I want a breakthrough in my relationship with somebody in my life, my spouse, my kids, my adult kids. I need a breakthrough in my finances at my job. If that's you, while our heads are bowed, I just want you to raise your hand up. That's just saying, God, I want to hear some truth today. Just keep your hand up. We're going to pray. Lord, thank you that you are the God who makes a way where there is no way, that you're a God, that there is no darkness in you. All darkness is light to you because you are light. Or there is no impossibility when you are in the mix, that you are the God of the impossible. And so, Jesus, we just proclaim that you are our God, you are our King, and we want to align our mind with your mind, our words with your words, our actions with your action, that we would see breakthrough today, that you know every single need in this room. So, Lord, we just want to be a people that receive it fully today. Help us to receive your truth, and may it bring about a transformation in us that overflows into our city, our homes, our church, our world. Lord, we love you that you're the God of the breakthrough. And we say, let it be today. In Jesus' powerful name, we say, amen, amen. Can we give it up for the choir and the leader, the worship leaders? Woo! Yes. Go ahead and have a seat. Man, I'm pumped today. I don't know. I've been talking really fast, so I hope that's okay in East Tennessee. I got a lot of things to talk about today, but before we get there, I want to just say tonight is going to be an incredible night. If you liked what you just experienced here, tonight, 6 p.m., downtown Kingsport, right beside the library, we're taking our worship team, our love for Jesus, to the streets. Anybody excited about that? Yeah. So it's encounter night, man. We're hoping and trusting that we're going to encounter the presence of God, the power of God, the grace of God, the love of God tonight in community, in our own community. And so here's the rundown. 6 o'clock tonight, we got a DJ, DJ C. Huff in the house. He's actually up there running the directing up there today. He's starting at 6 o'clock. We got food trucks, so bring some money, bring some appetite for food. We're gonna have Christ Fellowship waters, but bring some fluids as well. You can also buy them there. Bring a chair. There won't be any chairs, but here's the thing. You'll probably be standing a lot of time. Amen to that. I'm prophesying that over you. You're gonna be standing up a bunch. And then at 6:30, Jason and our worship team are going to usher us in to a time of getting our eyes on Jesus and connecting with him and making much of his name in our city that we love so much, all right? 6:30 tonight, worship starts. We want you to be there. And here's kind of just a recommendation, something for you to pray through even this afternoon. If you know somebody in your life that's going through a hard time, somebody who's just been down and out, maybe lacking some hope, maybe gone through a difficult season, I would really encourage you to think about asking them to join you, to meet you downtown. And throughout the night, we're going to have opportunities for people to receive ministry and prayer. And so I'm praying, just as we talked about today, and as I'm going to open up the word today, that breakthrough is in the air. I believe that tonight is going to be a breakthrough for our city. It's going to break some things that have been holding this city back and this region back. But maybe for you or somebody that you bring, breakthrough. The God of the breakthrough is going to encounter us tonight, and I can't wait to be there with you. 6:30 tonight, worship begins. Today, we're going to continue this series that we've entitled Stories, where we've been looking at different stories in the Old Testament that maybe we've heard before, maybe we've heard, or maybe it's a little new to us, but in the middle of these stories, there's usually these little nuances, things that we've looked over in the past, and so we've been trying to pull these out and say, what does it mean for us to learn from these old stories that can help us as God is writing this new story in our life today? And so today, we're gonna be in Joshua chapter 6. If you have your Bible, if you have a phone, grab your app and check out Joshua chapter 6. Let me give you a little background to what is happening in Joshua up until this point. Now, this group of people called the Israelites, they had been in slavery, in bondage to Egypt for about 400 years, 400, 430, some experts believe. And they had been working in Egypt and enslaved there. And then God raised up this guy, Moses. You guys have maybe heard of him. And he leads them out of Egypt through the 10 plagues and gets them to the Red Sea. And then we know the sea opened up, parted, and they walked across the sea on dry ground on their way to the promised land that God had told Abraham all the way back in Genesis chapter, I believe, 12, all the way back there, this was going to happen. Through the Red Sea, into the wilderness, ready to go into the promised land. So 400 years of slavery, but then we head into this after the Red Sea, and unfortunately, 40 years of walking around in like a spaghetti diagram, like circles in the wilderness. And in that time, what was God doing? God was unteaching them what it meant to be a slave, getting that out of their system, but he was also teaching them what it looked like to be free. Unfortunately for them, it took 40 years. They had some opportunities where they could have to learn the lesson a little quicker, but because of their lack of faith or the lack of receiving what God had for them, they ended up walking around for 40 years. And at the end of 40 years, Moses, their fearless leader, is standing on a mountain overlooking the promised land, the land of Cana, the land that flows with milk and honey. He's overlooking it. And on that mountain, he breathes his last breath and never makes it into the promised land. But there's another guy named Joshua, that was appointed to be the leader of Israel. So Joshua is called in, he's anointed to be the leader, he begins to lead. He takes the people from that mountain on the other side of the river is the promised land. He takes them very similar to how Moses did. He takes them through the water, just like Moses did, his predecessor. Walks through the water, gets on the other side, and he first steps foot onto the promised land, right on the edge. And God is ready to give them this promise that he'd given them. But how many of you know that oftentimes between the promise that God has spoken over us and actually us receiving it is oftentimes some opposition, right? And so what we're going to see today is there was some opposition between the Israelites receiving the promise that God had for them. And I hope today that you'll see maybe a way that you can experience some breakthrough in your life, some promises in your life that God wants to bring to pass as we study this passage. Now the first place that they go to, they cross the water, they're on the edge of the promised land, and as they go, there's this city called Jericho. Everybody say Jericho. Jericho was this incredible city, fortified. It was very hard to get in. Most theologians believe that they had just had this massive harvest, and so they would have had stockpiles of food, no reason for them to leave Jericho for months and months and months. They could have just hunkered down and wait for the armies to get tired. And the reality was Israel was not a warring nation. They didn't have sophisticated weapons. They didn't have a lot of training. And so they're coming up into the city that's well protected with very little strategy, very little weaponry. And yet God is calling them to go take that land. And we're going to open up and we're going to look at Joshua 6 and we're going to see the story of Jericho. This is chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in because the Israel was all around them. They're like, man, I'm not stepping out there. I don't want to see that. Like, so they're all staying inside the walls. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I've given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all of the men of war going around the city once. Thus shall you do this for 6 days. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpet. And when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. Now, doesn't that make you think of any movie recently maybe you've heard of? Anybody think of Horton Hears a Who? Anybody else here? Right? The one who is not doing the thing that who's supposed to do, yelling, and so there's no breakthrough, and so, man, they don't realize there's life on this little dust ball. You guys know what movie I'm talking about. And then they find the who that's kind of holding out, and that who finally erupts and joins the shout, and then that shout reverberates and busts through, and they realize, wait, there really is life on that little dust ball, right? This is what's happening years before, all right? The same thing here. So he says, if you all shout, the walls will fall flat. Look at that. And he said to the people, go forward, march around the city, and let the armed men pass on before the ark of the Lord. Now we read this story, and many of us, you know what's happening. We haven't even got there, but you know what's going to happen. But when we do that, sometimes we miss out on the reality of this was a very real man, Joshua, who was in a very real context, the earth, navigating, journeying to a place that God had promised generations before. And you got to think of who was Joshua's predecessor, right? It was Moses. Man, everybody loved Moses. Man, he led him out of Egypt, and he was the man. And so he takes the mantle from Moses, and now he's the leader. And this is one of the first times he has to go before the people. And he says, hey, guys, I was talking to God. Now, remember, who talked to God? Moses talked about God to God, came down the mountain and told them what was going to happen. Joshua talks to God. He hears this plan. He goes and says, hey guys, everybody circle up here. All my mighty men, valor, come on. Here's what we're going to do. This is the plan. We're going to go and we're going to walk around the city. And then what, Joshua? We're going to rest, take a nap, go to sleep. Okay. What are we doing the second day, Joshua? Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get up again. We're going to get ready to fight. We're going to get the DB band in front of us. Okay. We're going to begin to march around the city and then we're going to stop again. And then we're going to go home. We're going to see our families and we're going to rest. Okay. Third day. Okay. Okay. And they say third day. This is what's going to happen. Fourth day, fifth day, sixth, seventh day. This is what he comes out and says. He says, listen, seventh day, this is what we're going to do. Listen, I just imagine these guys on the edge of their seat. They're like, okay, this is going to be good. Like, I've got this spear so sharp now after sixth day. This is what we're going to do. He said, we're going to go take a longer walk. Seven times around the city. And then we're going to let the trumpet section of the band, they're going to play a loud sound. And then all of us are going to shout, woo! And then the wall's gonna fall down. You gotta think, somebody in that crowd was thinking, man, can we bring Moses back to life? Like, who is this dude? Like, what are we doing here? But they didn't. They said, you know what? We believe that God's spoken to you. We're gonna follow. We know what God has done in the past. Man, we've experienced his miracles. We've experienced his provision. We're gonna go with that story. Can you imagine saying yes to that story? So 6 days, they walk around one time. Don't make a sound. Just march, 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 march. Seventh day rolls around. Look at verse 15. It says, on the seventh day, they rose early at the dawn of the day and marched around the city in the same manner seven times. It was only on that day that they marched around the city seven times. And at the seventh time, when the priests had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Look at verse 20. It says, so the people shouted and the trumpets were blown. And as soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted a great shout. See, I knew you'd think about Horton the Who. And the wall fell down flat. So the people went up into the city and every man straight before him. And they captured the city. Now don't think of that as a Bible story. Think about, man, that was the history. Like, imagine that story. Imagine you, like, 10 years later, you've had a kid, and you're like, man, let me tell you a story, kids, about this time where we entered into the promised land, and there was this crazy city, and all we did was walk around it, and we shouted, and God gave it to us. Can you imagine that kind of story? Incredible story. And here's the thing. We could preach a lot of sermons out of this message right here, this story right here, but today, what I want to look at is I want to take a step a little bit further in time to what was the story before the story. So if you have your Bible open, I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 5. How do we get to this place of Jericho falling? This is where I want to go today. As we talk about breakthrough, as we talk about God bringing to pass things that he's promised. So verse 13, it says, when Joshua was in Jericho, so remember, right on the edge of the water, right in the promised land, he was beside Jericho. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or are you for our adversaries? And the man said, no, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come, and Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. This happens right before Joshua gets word from God of this plan of marching around the city. This happens. Now, this is very interesting. And the first question we should say, man, who in the world is the commander of the Lord's army? Like, we should ask that question. Like, is that, you know, how do I get that job and description in heaven? Like, how do you get that? Well, here's what most scholars believe. And what I believe is that this commander of the Lord's army is Jesus himself. So we got to remember, you know, Jesus did not just become into existence when he was born of the Virgin Mary that we celebrate at Christmas. That was his birth into humanity. But Jesus, just as the Spirit and the Father, they've always coexisted before the creation of this world. Actually, the scripture says that Jesus actually spoke the world into existence. And so what we see throughout the Old Testament is there's times where Jesus interjects himself and interacts with humanity before he actually wrapped himself with flesh. And the reason why I also agree with the scholars that this is Jesus is because of what the commander says. He says, take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy. Do you know the other time that this type of scenario is in the scripture? It's from Joshua's predecessor, Moses, right? Look at the parallels, it's incredible. So Moses is walking down a path, he sees a bush that's filled with flames, yet it's not being consumed. And what we know is it was actually God in the bush. And what did God say to Moses? He said, take off your sandals, where you're standing is holy ground. See, I believe this Lord, or this commander of the Lord's army is Jesus himself. And why is that important to Joshua? Why is it important that God came to him? Well, I believe it's important because Joshua, before he headed into battle, needed to know something. And I believe it's something that all of us need to know. Man, whatever battle you got, your marriage, your finances, your career, your place of, you know, whatever you're doing, whatever battle you feel like you are in the midst of or on the verge of, here's one truth that you need, just like Joshua did. You need to know that you are not alone. You are not alone. God is with you. This is what we see early on when Joshua was anointed to be the leader. In verse 9 of chapter 1, he says, God says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. Look what happened. For the Lord is with you wherever you go. God is reminding Joshua before he goes in to receive the promises for generations, before he goes and takes these battles. Listen, you are not alone, Joshua. The same thing that David knew when he was going through the valley of the shadow of death, Psalm 23. What did he say? Why did he fear no evil? Because he was a big, bad dude. He had a big sword. No. Because God was what? With him. His rod and his staff, they were there to comfort him. And so what we see from greats in the Old Testament is that they were empowered to go with God because God was with them. And that recognition changed everything. And it fast forward to the New Testament. Man, we need to know this. As followers of Jesus, this is what you need to know. You are not alone. Jesus says, listen, I'm never going to leave you. Do you believe him? I'm never going to forsake you. Do you believe him? He said, I'm with you until the very end of the age. Do you really believe that? Because if we really believe that, I think we would empower to actually go and do what God has called us to do. So here's my encouragement to this week. Man, if you got a battle, you got a hard part in your life where you're gonna have to navigate through, here's what you do in the morning. You wake up, and at the very least, you say, God, thank you that you're with me. Even when I don't see you, like we just sang about, even when I don't feel it, listen, God, I'm gonna stand on your truth. You are with me, and because you're with me, I will go with you. See, this is what Joshua needed to know. You're not alone, Joshua. I'm here. And I love Joshua's response to this recognition that God was with him. What's he do? He falls on his face and he begins to worship. And I think this is a key to breakthrough that I want you to hear this morning. Sometimes we need to fall before the walls in our life fall. Sometimes you and me, we need to fall down in the presence of God before those walls, before those challenges, before that opposition is actually gonna fall down. And as he humbles himself, as he falls down, he humbles himself in the presence of God, recognizing that God is with him. It says that he did something. It says he began to worship. Now that word, man, we get that word so confused in church culture. You know, didn't we just worship singing songs? Aren't we going to worship tonight? Yeah, that is worship. Okay. But worship is so much more than just singing. Worship at the end of the day is our response to who God is and what he's done. So what is Joshua doing? He's responding to the presence of God. He's worshiping. And he's showing honor. He's showing God, you're worth it. And so before he ever goes into battle, Joshua does this. He worships God before he ever knows how any victory is going to come out. This is what Abby was talking about, by the way, a little bit ago. Before we know how God is going to bring an answer to prayer, before we know how God is going to work in a situation, what are you and I called to do as Jesus followers? We're called to respond to God through worship. Worship. And this is what I know about worship. It precedes breakthrough. Worship almost always in the scriptures precedes breakthrough. We see this as the Israelites, man, they stepped out and they responded to this word from God to walk around the city 6 days and then seven times on the seventh day. And as they did that, you know what they're doing? They were worshiping. And through that worship, there was breakthrough. But this is not just an Old Testament truth. This is also a very New Testament truth. I want you to write down Acts chapter 16. You don't have to turn there. It's going to be on the screen. Acts chapter 16 gives us a little insight into two guys, Paul and Silas. who are in prison. And so they're there. It says about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. You never know who's listening, by the way. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Do you see the beauty and the power of this? That before their chains were unfastened, before they had a breakthrough, before they were free, what do? They worshiped before they knew what the answer was going to be. It's a beautiful truth, a beautiful invitation for all of us. And I was thinking about what does this look like? And I was thinking about something that maybe all of us could relate to. And so I was thinking about salvation. Salvation. What is salvation? Salvation is a revelation from God of who he is. His love, his grace, his forgiveness, his power, his worth. And as I receive this revelation, I have a chance to respond. I have a chance to say, Jesus, forgive me, save me. And when I do that, you know what that is? That is really an act of worship. Because what am I doing? I'm responding to God. So not only does worship precede breakthrough, but we also see that revelation actually leads us to worship. So you're saying, how do I grow in worship today, Derek? I would say it begins with revelation. Growing in our understanding of God, growing in our experience of God. As I get to know God, as I experience God, my revelation of him grows, also will my worship and how I respond to him, giving him my yes when he asks me to do something, when he says, hey, go talk to that person at work. Hey, go make coffee for that person at work that nobody likes. There's a reason why nobody likes him, because there's something going on inside of them that's really hurting. Go make coffee for them. Do you think God would do that? He would, and you know what it would mean when you stepped out and you made coffee that person? That would be an act of worship. Responding to the revelation of God. That's why we as a church, man, we want to grow in our ability to hear God's voice, because then we can respond to God's voice, and that is worship. And you know what worship leads to? Breakthrough. Anybody else want breakthrough in here? Come on, let's wake up a little bit. Anybody else want some breakthrough in here? It begins with revelation of who God is, leading us to worship, and as we worship, it leads to breakthrough. But here is what we oftentimes do. We begin to get in this routine. Okay, God responded this way when I did this. So next time I have the chance, I'm going to respond the same way. How many of you know God never likes to fit into a formula? Anybody else know that? So we're like, man, okay, God, I had this breakthrough in my marriage 3 years ago. And so what we do, mostly men probably, we say, okay, I'm going to do that exact same thing 3 years later. And all the ladies like, probably ain't going to work, right? New season, new provision. We need something different. God's the same way. You see, the way that he brought victory into Jericho was they marched around the city 7 times and the wall fell. But there was another city after Jericho, and it was a city called Ai. Imagine if your hometown was Ai. What's up, Ai? Anyhow, if it was Ai, Ai is the way you spell that. And if the Israelites were like you and me, they would say, okay, God brought victory through Jericho by walking around. You know what? I'm just going to go ahead and I'm just going to do that same thing with A, and I'm going to walk around. But that's not what happened. And here's what I want you to see is not all walls fall the same. I want you to hear this. This will bring some breakthrough. This little piece of nugget of truth today, it could save you a lot of time of walking in the wilderness and beating your head against the wall and saying, God, why aren't you doing something? Why isn't this working? Man, it worked last week, God. It worked last month, God. Why isn't it working now? You see, God didn't tell them to walk around A this time. He actually gave them a whole different strategy to win in. And them stepping out in obedience was an act of worship, and it brought breakthrough, and they took another city. But not all walls fall the same way. And you say, what does that mean? Well, listen, just because God spoke this way a month ago doesn't mean God is going to speak and ask you to do the same thing today. You know what that is? That actually can easily become idolatry, because we've taken a formula and we put it in front of a relationship with God. See, God is not cruel. He's not saying, hey, that worked last time. Watch this. They're going to think it's going to work again, and it's not going. That's not God. If you think that's God, man, you got the wrong God that we're worshiping here. No, that's not God. He's kind, he's faithful, he's true. And so what God does, he's like, listen, I want you to walk around the city 7 times. Okay, you did it. Here's what I want. I don't want you to trust the formula. I want you to trust your relationship with me. So here's what you need to do. Come back and ask me how you're gonna take the next city. You know why he does that? Because he wants you to be in relation with him more than anything else. And if we get a formula, okay, God does this in my finances, or God does this in my relationship, and I keep doing it, I've short-circuited my dependence on God, And God will never be behind that. And so he'll say, okay, you experience it. Some of you in this room today, you have a battle that you're getting ready to fight or you're in the middle of, and you're like, why isn't something changing? And I would say, are you doing the same thing that God asked you to do in the last battle, but he hadn't said it in this battle? And how do we go about that? How do we change that? It's an active connection in relationship with God where I am setting aside time to hear him, time in his word, time to pray, time to be in community, where I am getting a continual revelation of God that leads me to a continual newness of worship. That brings breakthrough, friends. This is what we see in this story. Revelation leads to worship. Worship brings breakthrough. It's not a one-time thing. It's an ongoing relationship with God that brings breakthrough. So as we close here, we're going to have our team come up and they're going to lead us in one last song. And as we do that, I want you to sit there and I want you to think about this just for a second. I want you to think about what is an area of your life where you need a breakthrough. You know, so many of us raised our hand this morning when I asked who needs a breakthrough. And if this is you and you're sitting there and saying, yeah, I have a breakthrough, what would it look like for you to take just one truth today? Not don't have to remember everything. Man, I know that, man, you hear 30 minutes and you're going to take one or two things at best. Like, what's one way you can apply this truth today to the situation you're in? What's one way you can respond to God with an act of worship? What are you going to do Monday that was different than last Monday that got you to Saturday, which you felt like junk? So here's what we want to cultivate. We want to cultivate a relationship with God where we hear God. We don't just say God spoke a month ago. We say, what is God speaking now? And how can I join him? That's where breakthrough happens. That's where breakthrough happens. And that's what I want to pray for you. Lord, thank you so much for this truth in the scripture today. Thank you for guys like Joshua, men and women in the Old Testament that give us such a beautiful picture of what your heart is, what you're about. So Lord, I this week, I want to have a greater revelation of who you are, Jesus. Your greatness, your beauty, your love, your strength. I want that for our church. I want this for our community, for our nation, for the world. Lord, I want us to grow in experiencing your power and your love and your grace so that our response would be an ongoing yes to you. Lord, I pray breakthrough over the areas of our life where we just feel defeated, where we feel like there's no way out. Lord, I pray even in those moments of unknown, where we're not sure what the next step is, we're not sure how you're gonna bring victory, we're not sure what to do with it, that in those moments, God, that we would lean on who you are and what you've done in the past, and we would worship you. We would respond to you by saying yes to you. Lord, thank you that you're a God that makes a way. We love you so much. Amen. We're going to sing one last song. So I'm going to ask you to pop to your feet. In the middle of this song, I'm going to come back out and I'm going to set up baptism. It's a special day today. We're going to baptize three people today. So let's sing and then we're going to celebrate, not with golf claps, no golf claps around here, but we're going to actually raise the roof and celebrate that God has done in these people's lives. So let's worship and then we're going to baptize some people this morning.